really excited about today. Today is, it's what we titled our Be the Bridge Sunday, and this is the day that we are recognizing the racial reconciliation that we've been working on here in this church. So probably a couple years ago, God started stirring things up in my heart about being a multicultural, multi-ethnic church, a church that has people of all nations that represent the makeup of our congregation. And then I really kind of felt like God, and so what happened was, I felt like there was a couple that the Lord was really kind of highlighting, like, how are we going to make this happen, Lord? And I'm just kind of meditating about this and talking to God about it. And Walt and Khaleesia Hudson kept popping up in my head. So last January, or maybe the January before that, I met with them and I just said, hey, listen, here's what I'm thinking. What do you guys think? And they were really into it, and they loved the idea. And what happened was, we were able to create the space where conversation could take place between different communities, different cultures, different people groups. And so I was able to ask them questions, they were able to ask me questions, and we got to know each other. We got to know, you know, what's behind, you know, they're an African-American couple, I'm white. And so we began that bond and we began that journey. And then then what happened was, it just felt like maybe we need to kind of dial this in a little bit more. And so they introduced me to this curriculum, this group called Be the Bridge. And Be the Bridge is all about racial reconciliation. And it's a biblical-based curriculum and a class. There's a book and there's a curriculum and a class that we go through. So then what happened was, okay, in this first class, I don't just want anybody, no offense, but, you know, this is a topic that can stir up all kinds of things. And so I just began looking and listening and seeing who it was that I thought the Lord wanted to be a part of this first Be the Bridge class. And so we began this journey together. There were 12 of us. And we, our last class will be here in a couple of weeks, but we've been meeting for 9 months. And this Be the Bridge class has been an eye-opening, life-changing class. Because we talk about all kinds of things. We talk about current events. We talk about police brutality. We talk about a black man getting pulled over by the police versus a white man getting pulled over by the police. We talk about not all police are bad. Okay? We talk about all of that stuff. Like, as a matter of fact, if I'm being transparent, Kim can attest to this, I would be like, you know, things happen in the community and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, we're gonna have some hot topics tonight. But you know what? This class, we entered this class every day from an area of love. And that is how the change takes place. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring everybody up that was a part of that class. Just kind of come up here in the front here. Just want to recognize you guys, Walt and Khaleesia. And I have a letter here. So another thing that we did in this class was, this class kind of forced us to spend time with each other. Like, for instance, right off the bat, we had to draw names, and then we had to go out and hang out with that person, eat a meal together, go do something together. And it was designed to really break down barriers, break down walls, and build bridges. And a lot of time, and there was a lot of homework. Sometimes we did it, sometimes we didn't, right, Walt?
I always did mine.
Know about that, but again, it was these. I mean, I can't thank Walt and Khaleesia enough for stepping outside of their comfort zones and being a part of this. So I want to read you a letter. This letter was written by another mom in the group, and it was written to Khaleesia. And this letter was written a little bit later in the group, about 7 months in, I think. But here it goes, Khaleesia. I thought you were a neat person from the moment I met you. I have watched your involvement in the church grow abundantly. Through this study, I have thought about you more as a mother to 3 wonderful children, a mother who worries about Adrian when he is away from her, her teenage son, a worry that is the same as mine, but at the same time very different, worries that I didn't think about or even related to until my eyes were opened in this class. Worries of equality for her family, worries of her children being hurt by white people, worries of trying to change the attitudes and actions of generations of people so that her children can be treated with equality. I've never thought so much about the comforts, assuredness, and privileges that I have as a mother compared to other mothers around me until we started having our deep discussions in our group. My outlook is a little different. I'm thinking more about inequalities. My eyes are wider, my heart a little softer.
Amen.
So, Kalicia, as a person of color, a mother, how does that letter make you feel?
It makes me feel like this person is not colorblind. They understand a little bit more how we kind of, as a person of color, just have our own struggles and feelings, but it opened my eyes to this person not being colorblind and celebrating who I am, and then also give me hope. Mm. Mm. It gives me hope. It means that there is hope, you know, that we can have these tough and difficult conversations and still love one another and still help to be that bridge.
Amen. Same. Amen. All right. So, Walt, as a person of color who led this class, how did this class help you see things from a different point of view or from both sides of the story?
Well, one of the things it showed me was that one of the biggest issues is understanding. I feel like there's a lot of things that we don't understand about each other. But in this class, we came together and we were able to have great conversations that showed each other's perspectives. And looking at it through someone else's eyes can lead you to a better understanding. And once we all work together, we can reach our goals.
Mm. Amen. Okay, so Kalicia, back to you. What would you say to somebody here that is interested in being a part of the multi-ethnic reconciliation movement? I practiced that. Multi-ethnic reconciliation movement in this church.
Come with an open heart and listen. That's the key. I would definitely say understand that we are going to have tough and raw conversations where we truly can peel back layers of one another to understand that we all have a heart. And as long as we can get to know one another truly, then we can build millions of bridges.
Mm. Amen. Amen. All right, last question for you, Walt. What do you think it's going to take as a nation to reach racial reconciliation?
I feel the first step is acknowledgement. If we don't acknowledge that there's a problem, we can never come to the answer. We can never fix things. Secondly, we need to listen to each other. I mean, and listen to understand, not just listening and hearing things and letting it go in one ear and out the other. We have to be intent in understanding each other. And finally, I mean, it should have been first, but we can't do this without God. We got to keep God at the forefront and keep biblical principles in our lives. And as we do that, what the saying used to say, what would Jesus do? Think about that every time you act. And I feel like we can reach that goal together.
Amen. Woo. Amen. Well, listen. It truly is an honor to work with you guys, and I know it's, and you know, we talked about this some, but it is the perfect time for this, and I'm so glad that we're a part of this together, you know. And if anybody has any questions, or if you're interested about taking this class, we're having another class starting up in August. You can fill out a part in the bulletin. There's a sign-up form. And what would happen is you'd sign up for them up. Walt and Kalicia would contact you, and then they'll get you the Be the Bridge book. And this book will prepare you for the class. And this book, this book, I'm telling you, will make you at first maybe get a little defensive. But like Walt said, you need to peel those layers back and you need to come at it with an open heart. And I promise you, we're not going to stop doing this. This is just the beginning of the racial reconciliation here in this church. And so if you're interested in being a part of that class, sign up today. We'll contact you. And then God will begin preparing your heart for that. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. All right. Good deal. Okay, so we're going to do a little teaching today on this very topic. You know, as part of being a bridge builder, because that's what we call ourselves now since we're a part of this, we're building bridges. The Holy Spirit has sealed it in my heart that we are a church, we become a church, we are known as a church that is welcoming to people of color, that is welcoming to different ethnicities, that is welcoming to different cultures. And what I mean by that is there's a difference between actually welcoming and maybe just kind of catering, being nice to. Welcoming means you're a part of our church family. We want you to be involved. We want you to do the works that Jesus has us doing here in this church, not just showing up on Sundays. And that is a vision that I have and a dream that I have, and I believe we're moving in that direction. But in order for this to happen, as followers of Jesus, it is our job to carry out the will of God. To listen to His voice, follow His leading, and walk in the plans that He had paved out for us long ago. Before we became followers of Jesus, He already had plans for us in mind. The issue is, we have been given free will. So we have the choice. Do I want to do what God wants me to do, or do I want to do my own thing? And anytime we talk about race, or anytime we talk about these tough conversations like this, racial reconciliation, things of that nature, it's going to get uncomfortable. And it could very easily start off on the wrong foot. You could very easily, no matter who you are, come off as being insensitive. And when I first met with Walt and Khaleesi, here's how I started the conversation. I want to be able to create a space where I can ask questions that I don't really know much about. And I'm hoping that you can understand that I might come off as being not very knowledgeable. My real word is stupid. You know, I don't want to sound stupid, but I might be asking questions that I don't know anything about. And they welcomed that. And so we created that space where we could dialogue a little bit. And so if you're curious about something or you want to become a part of this, when you have conversations with somebody who is different than you, different skin color, different country or whatever, start it out by saying, hey, is it okay if I ask this? Can I ask you this question? Please forgive me if this comes out the wrong way, but I would like blah, blah, blah. Ask the question. Because what that does is, that tells the other person that I really want to know, but I'm not too sure if I know how to ask the question. Does that make sense? And I believe that that is how the bridge building process gets started. Jesus tells us, and there's a famous sermon of his, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, and there's a part of it he starts out with called the Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are, and he lists off all these things. Well, one of the things he says is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We are called to bring peace to all situations. And I believe that there is no greater arena for this than the area of racial reconciliation. It's too easy to put a wall up and say, not my community, not my problem. But we are called to be peacemakers. Another thing that I try to model my life after from Jesus was in John chapter 5 when Jesus said, I do nothing of my own accord. I only do what I see the Father doing. You see, Jesus was constantly paying attention to what was going on around him, listening to conversations, observing somebody in the group, and then listening to the voice of God's Holy Spirit and moving in that direction. You know, a couple weeks ago, Kim did a sermon about Zacchaeus, you know, and Zacchaeus, he was a despised man, he was a rotten man, but he heard Jesus was coming into town, and he really wanted to see Jesus, and he climbed up in this tree to see Jesus, and then Jesus says, Zacchaeus, today I'm having dinner at your house. So here's how I kind of imagine this happening. Jesus is walking along, doing his own thing, and God said, you're going to have dinner at Zacchaeus' house today. So Jesus is probably like, Zacchaeus, who is Zacchaeus? Oh, the man up in the tree. Zacchaeus, I'm having dinner at your house today. I mean, he might have been praying all night and God told him about Zacchaeus, but nevertheless, I kind of look at it like that. Like, Jesus is just moving along, doing his thing, and then he hears the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he moves in that direction. And I think when we live our lives like that, we give God the opportunity to use us in ways that we never thought he could use us. And maybe we get it wrong sometime. Who cares? Just put it behind you and move on. The worst somebody could say is, no, that doesn't mean anything to me. All right, we'll move on. You might embarrass yourself a little bit. It's all right. I'm fine with that. Follow me around for a little bit. Questions I have to ask is, are we as concerned about those around us as Jesus is? Are we as concerned, or do we even know that there are people in our midst who feel oppressed? There are people in our midst who feel like they're living in an unjust society. So do we, like Jesus, have the heart of the Father? Are we peacemakers? Are we paying attention to those around us? Are we as concerned as Jesus is? God's greatest concern, do we like Jesus, have the heart of the Father? What exactly does that mean? Well, when you read the Old Testament, God used the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, all of those books are prophets that God used as his mouthpiece, his voice to get a message across to the people. And when you begin reading those, you begin understanding what the heart of the Father was really all about. Because every one of those prophets preached a message of justice. They preached a message of helping the oppressed. They preached a message of being kind to the foreigner. They preached a message of looking out for the fatherless and the widows. That is what God's heart is all about. Doing the right thing, moving in the areas of social justice. And then when you watch how Jesus moved, he had the heart of the Father. I want to read a passage from you from the book of Isaiah. And this is the one that really kind of leapt out at me when I began kind of diving into this. And this is kind of the one that I hold on to. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. This is God talking to his people. Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphans, fight for the rights of the widows. I can read that and I can say, yeah, I do good. I do my best at doing good. I'm pretty good at seeking justice. I mean, you know, sometimes I want what's fair, but you know, what's just isn't always fair. But am I helping the oppressed? And that was the one that really kind of jumped out at me. Am I helping the oppressed? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing as far as God is concerned with my life in helping the oppressed? Because this right here is the heart of the Father. This is God's heart right here. God calls us to do good. He calls us to seek justice. He calls us to defend the oppressed, to show mercy, and to love those around us. These, and here's the deal, these are the actions that keep us close to God, and these are also the actions that keep us available to do what he wants to do through us. And when we go through life with this mindset and going about doing what we think the Father is doing around us, do you know what it keeps from stirring up within us? Feelings of prejudice. Because when you are going through life looking to do good, to seek justice, to help the oppressed, to defend the fatherless, the orphans, the widows, and all those around you that need help, you will begin to understand that we live in a world of hurting people who need a follower of Jesus to come alongside them and help them through life. Not hit them over the head with scripture, but to help them through life, to come alongside them and to help them through life. And when we do this, it keeps those preconceived ideas that we have. And here's another thing. When it comes to the area of racial reconciliation, let me give you just a little tip here. Don't get involved in conversations on Facebook. Right? It's face-to-face. Meet people face-to-face. I don't even bother having a conversation with somebody if I'm not talking to them face-to-face. Really. And do you know where the word prejudice comes from? Prejudge. So you are judging somebody before you even know them. It is impossible to please God when we do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, but only to those who look like me. Only to those who are from the same country as me. Only to those who I think are deserving of it. If God, and here's the thing, if God wanted to create all people to look the same, I'm pretty sure it would have been a lot easier for him to create mankind. We would have all looked the same. But since we don't, what this tells me is God loves variety. God loves diversity. God loves the differences in all people groups, all races. And this leads me to this verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. God created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. We may think that someone is different than us because of the color of their skin, where they are from, but here's the deal. Every single one of us can trace our lineage back to one man, Adam. Adam was the very first of God's creation in mankind. God created all the different people groups, all the nations, from one man. And from him, the world began to populate. Adam and Eve populated the earth. All of us can trace our lineage back to him. And it is God who determines when and where we will be on this earth. Don't you think that's awesome? Like, okay, here's why I think that's so awesome. God is the one that determined all of us would be living where we're living at right now and a part of this church family at this particular time in the world's history. God determined that. God determined long ago that Pastor Dave and I would meet 20 years ago. God determined long ago that Walton Calesi and I would meet a while back to do this. God determined that you would be sitting next to the person you're sitting at in this church. That's God is the one who determined that. We didn't choose the color of our skin. where we are from, or the family we were born in. That was totally God's idea. And maybe you don't like some things about you. Maybe you didn't have the best home life. Maybe you didn't have the best upbringing. Maybe you weren't born in the best area of town. Maybe you were born in a super great area of town and you wish you knew what it was like to not. We always look at where people are at, and we don't never look at, we always compare ourselves to the people that are better than us. But here's the thing. All of that, when finding your identity in Jesus, will help you become the person he created you to be. If God wanted you to be somebody else, he would have made you somebody else. Instead, God is totally delighted in who he created you to be. He loves you. He loves every characteristic about you. Everything. It is us as human beings that look in the mirror and say, oh, I wish I was a little bit different. And do you know who does that? The enemy does. Because he wants you to think less of yourself than what God thinks of yourself, because God thinks that each one of us are a masterpiece, perfectly created. And there are so many factors that determine our identity and who we are. All these things in our life experiences, the things that have been done to us, the things that we've done to others, our careers, all of that stuff determines, it makes up our identity in who we are. But the main goal is that we find our identity in Jesus. Because then all of that other stuff, it kind of becomes secondhand. Because Jesus can heal all those hurts and all those insecurities and help you deal with all the things done to you. So that you can find your identity in him, and then those things that you might not like so much about, God will bring people in your life who have had the same experiences, and then you get to help them because you have Jesus. And what should unite us all, not create differences, is that we are all created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, God created mankind in his own image. Anytime we think less of another person, God's creation, we are forgetting who made us. Which leads me to believe that racial prejudice goes against the greatest commandment Jesus ever gave. There's a story in Matthew chapter 22, and the religious leaders, they didn't like Jesus, and they were trying to trap him in a question. And so they asked him, teacher. When I read the Gospels and I read a religious leader addresses Jesus as a teacher, I always think there's kind of a dig there, like they didn't respect him. So they said, what is the greatest commandment? And of course, Jesus, already kind of knows what they're trying to do. But here's what Jesus said. The greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important, that you love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two things. In other words, if you don't have the time to read this entire book, which I encourage you to, that's it right there. The entire Bible, from page one to the last page, is summed up in those two commandments. Love God with everything you've got. Stay close to him. Pay attention to him. And love those around you as you love yourself. That tells me that everybody around me is extremely important to God. And there's a lot of division in our nation because we are not loving those around us like we love ourselves. We're not taking care of people around us like we take care of ourselves. And listen, this might sting a little bit. Division, racial division, is not something that is only out there in our nation and in our communities. It's even in the church. There are people who love God with all their heart, but they don't love others the way Jesus wants them to. That's a problem. So what do we do? How do we combat that? Well, for starters, we become bridge builders. We become intentional. We make ourselves available, and we take the next Be the Bridge class, which, by the way, it's only designed to have about 12 people. So the first 12, that's it. Too many, and it gets, there's, you know, it's designed like that. But also, we let our guard down. We allow God's Holy Spirit to change some of the preconceived ideas that we have about people around us. And we allow ourselves to be open to the change within us because Jesus is in the people changing business. That's what he does. Every single one of us, I'm pretty sure, can say, before I met Jesus, I lived one way, and now I live another. You live a changed life. And the first place we need to start to be a bridge builder is with ourselves. And the best way to do that is to look at others through the eyes of Jesus. Remember, God loves diversity. So when we see somebody that we perceive as different than us, we need to embrace that. We need to celebrate that difference. Because diversity has all along been a part of God's plan. Celebrate the different skin tones. Celebrate the different ethnicities. Celebrate the different cultures around you and in your community. For instance, here's an analogy. Our family loves going outdoors. We go hiking, and I remember this one time last year in Tennessee, we were hiking and it was hot and it was sweaty and we were arguing, and well, I was the grumpy one, really. Truth be told. But we finally it was this outlook we were supposed to get to, and it was like, ah. And also I'm like a little nervous about bears and stuff and snakes. So that was my grumpiness. But then all of a sudden, poof, we come out to this clearing. And it's like this, just this rock ledge that wasn't very big, but it was like, oh, wow. There's this huge valley below us and mountains out on the other side of that valley. And if you just are quiet and soak it up, it's God's creation. And it's majestic. You might hear a bird. You feel the breeze and you hear it in the trees. And it's beautiful. It's God's creation. What if we learned to celebrate other people like that? Look at them as being a majestic part of God's creation. I want to finish it with one more verse. Bring it home with this. This one's a challenging one, I'm going to tell you. You know, if the scriptures don't challenge you, you might want to kind of reevaluate things. This one here is challenging. James chapter 2. How can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? And then he kind of fleshes that out a little bit and talks about what that means. And then you go down to verse 8. Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. Is that not deep? Does that not cut? Does that not bring some conviction about? Does that not maybe give you something to struggle with? Like this should make us all talk to God a little bit more. Because what this is saying is that we are all created equal. And God's plan here on earth is to build his kingdom, to build his church with the most diverse group of people this side of heaven. I am convinced that is the heart of the Father. And to do this, he needs peacemakers, he needs reconcilers, he needs bridge builders to make this happen. And while we're in this process, here's something that I can tell you. We will not ignore the history of this nation. We will not ignore the pain someone has gone through. We will not pretend different stereotypes are not there. And we will not pretend everything is okay when it is not. But most importantly, what we will do is we will put our differences aside and we will listen to each other. So I'm asking you, church, do you want to join me on this journey? Amen? Let's pray, and then we got something special coming up here. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much. I thank you for this church family. I thank you, God, for diversity. I thank you for the willingness of people to come together and build bridges, make a difference. I thank you, Jesus, for the movement that's about to happen in this church, God, where we can all come together and celebrate the differences that we have within each other so that your kingdom, God, can prevail here in this community. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Benny Colquitt is going to come up. Come on up, Benny. And he is going to lead us in the first verse of the Black National Anthem.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun, let us march on till victory is won.